Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
That's the call for our Browns beat reporter, Daryl Ryder. Daryl's joining us. Daryl, hang on. Andy's going to be generous first.
All right, win a pair of tickets to go see Sebastian Maniscalco at Ain't Right Tour. Did I say it right or wrong?
Maniscalco.
Maniscalco.
You put an L in there.
You keep calling him Mal.
There's an L in there.
Not early. It's Maniscalco.
Maniscalco. Sebastian. Oh, I know Daryl's going to go off on me here in a second. Hang on. Sebastian Maniscalco.
Well, how hard is that?
It wasn't hard. I think you're listening for something else. It Ain't Right Tour. It's Friday, February 7th at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. Just enter the word humor, H-U-M-O-R, the American way to spell it. Humor, H-U-M-O-R, by the end of the hour at 92.3thefan.com to get registered to win. It's all from Live Nation and Sports Radio, 92.3 The Fan. The word, again, is humor, and spell it the way we spell it here in the States, H-U-M-O-R.
Hey, Daryl, you know what's humor?
Oh, he's going to tell you what's humor
listening
right now.
Listening to Andy pronounce any name that has more than two syllables.
Here it comes. Go ahead.
Ask him how to pronounce Cory Borquez.
Cory Borquez.
It's Bajorquez, not Borquez.
I didn't say Borquez. I said Borquez.
Daryl.
Daryl, say it.
Cory Borquez.
Borquez. That's what I say all the time, and Daryl thinks I'm saying it wrong.
You absolutely do not say.
Oh, come on.
It's Bjorquez. It's any other variation of Borquez.
It's Bajorquez.
I think you guys are like, since these new laws came into place, I think you're participating. That's all I can say. All of you. Maniscalco.
Okay. D, I need your expertise here.
Well,
okay?
Considering one of the teams that I cover, maybe I should.
I need your expertise here.
Well played.
You tell me, and I'm sure the Browns hired a competent man to be the offensive line coach.
Dude, you got to drop the music now. You can't. I don't care what Jeff's saying. You got to. This is. We've already crossed the line. Here we go. I can already feel it coming.
I've seen in some places where the Browns' new offensive line coach had significant time coaching the offensive line at Stanford.
Which was about 15 years ago.
Well, but I've also seen that he coached offensive line at Catawba. And barely anywhere else. How much? Well, isn't that accurate from what you've seen out there? Because there are all kinds of different things about whether
I read the bio.
So yeah, but I've read two different things in bios. You tell me, does Mike Bloomgren have significant offensive line experience, or is he just a really smart offensive coach?
He might be smart offensive coach. He's getting the Sean McVay treatment, I think, applies here. He has heard of Bill Callahan before, therefore he is the perfect guy to coach the Browns' offensive line.
Oh,
he worked with Bill years and
with
years
the Jets,
and years ago.
like 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
Exactly.
So. Okay.
He's off the Bill Callahan tree. What else you want, Jeff?
He has coached offensive line before. Did he coach it significantly at Stanford? Because I honestly, and I'm not joking around, I've seen various things that say that he did, for like 5 or 6 years, and then I saw one that said he coached offensive line at Stanford for like a year or so. Any idea?
No.
Okay. That's what I'm wondering. It's kind of cloudy.
He fits in perfectly because nobody does cloudy better than the Cleveland Browns.
I almost cringed when the first thing out of Kevin's mouth in the statement was, he's a really smart guy. Oh, no. I just want somebody who's going to go out and teach guys how to block guys.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they hired a guy, so that's good.
Great.
Tommy Rees has interviewed the internal candidate for the offensive coordinator gig. Does he get it? I kind of think he might be the leader in the clubhouse, Daryl.
Well, he is a hot coaching candidate in NFL circles. A lot of folks think he is a head coach in waiting, but to get there, you've got to check the boxes. And obviously, one of the boxes that need to be checked there is a successful offensive coordinator. He spent a lot of time working with Mike Vrabel this year. Would not surprise me that if he doesn't get the Browns offensive coordinator job, that he would go with Vrabel wherever he ends up landing, New England, and be the offensive coordinator for the Patriots. And so I think that, you know, I'm of the belief when you got smart people in the building, to use Kevin's terminology, you want to keep the smart people in the building. So, I think he is a leading candidate. I think Clint Kubiak, if the Saints allow him to be available following the dismissal of their head coach, I think he would be a viable candidate. And then as far as like some other names, I would think just because of what I believe to be Kevin Stefanski's philosophy as far as the approach going forward with him, at least from my point of view, I think he's taking the car keys back. He'll call plays. He's going to, you know, we're going to go back to his style of playing football, which, oh, by the way, the Browns used to have success running before they did whatever it was that they did last year. So I think that, you know, like past game coordinators, you know, guys like that around the league would, you know, carry some interest because I kind of feel like this is going to be similar to the Alex Van Pelt role where, yes, input on game planning, you know, working with the quarterbacks and things like that. But when it comes to game day, it'll be Kevin Stefanski running the show.
You know, I'm just going to switch gears for a second. I'm just curious because I know we didn't get a chance to talk about this the other day, and I'm sure we'll have a chance to talk about it a little bit tomorrow when you're sitting in. Pittsburgh and Baltimore, is there any way Pittsburgh can come back and beat these guys in the playoffs the way they're playing right now?
Well, the way they're playing now, no. But if they actually magically get a clue here in the next 24, 48 hours, mm-hmm. Sure. I mean, that's why you play the game. Good news for the Ravens is they are hosting that game, and you know these are two teams that play a lot of meaningful football against each other this time of year. The Ravens have had certainly the upper hand in that case, but and I'm picking the Ravens to beat the Steelers this weekend. I felt that the Steelers were a one and done team anyway. They're just not good enough. They are stuck. They're kind of stuck in football purgatory. They're good enough to make the playoffs. They're not good enough to really do anything in the playoffs. I think a lot of attention gets pointed at Mike Tomlin for that, but my counterargument is Mike Tomlin's a good enough coach to get substandard teams to the playoffs on a consistent basis. It's just that once you get to the playoffs, your roster deficiencies get exposed. And, you know, as we've seen in recent years, I mean, the Browns have won a playoff game more recently than the Pittsburgh Steelers have.
Wow.
I think that, and I am anticipating that the Steelers' weaknesses will be exposed once again by the Ravens.
Well, let me go back. I wanted to follow up the offensive coordinator thought.
Oh, great.
Well,
I'm teasing you.
Is there any way Alex Van Pelt is considered?
I don't know that Alex Van Pelt wants to come back.
Well, that's part of my thinking, too. I just wonder. It worked before. He might have been...
Yeah, but there might be some hard feelings.
Might have been done wrong, yeah. And I get that. But he now needs a gig.
And if you're Alex Van Pelt, why would you want to come back?
Because you want a gig.
You
want a gig.
You fired me for Ken Dorsey, and how'd that work out for you?
Yeah,
you want a gig. There are only 32 of those gigs.
These are very prideful men, Jeffrey.
Yeah, well, now, Daryl, see, you're absolutely right. I threw that out there because I think it's an interesting coincidence. The guy who was here and then the replacement didn't work.
I don't hate the idea, but I don't know that.
Okay. I would be stunned if he were because of exactly what you're alluding to. You know, they let him go. You know,
well, they let him go, and he did nothing wrong. Like that's the problem,
right? Their offense wasn't broke.
They went 11 and six. Their offense was pretty good. High-powered offense.
Yep.
They functioned with five different quarterbacks. Joe Flacco got dusted off a couch and throwing out rats to his dad in a parking lot to come in here and put up 300 yards passing in four of five starts to get the team to the playoffs, and you fired him for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if I'm Alex Van Pelt, I want nothing to do with the Cleveland Browns.
Unless, of course, you get a significant pay raise.
Yeah, I know. I don't know that matters.
I get it completely.
I don't know, man. Somebody says I'll double your salary. I might think about it.
Is Myles Garrett on this team
breaking
next?
Andy Baskin can be bought.
Oh, without question. That's not even... Was that even a? Was that?
That
even,
was not. Yeah, no,
was even never option. A debate, Baskin. Yeah, by the way, you're not alone.
Thank you. Oh, it would make me an American.
Is Myles Garrett on this team next year? And if he is it with a new contract?
Yes and yes.
Okay.
Guess that answered that question.
Yep.
Pretty quick.
Is there anything more to it than that?
No. I said it when he said what he said in December, that one of the, aside from the winning, that is absolutely legitimate and heartfelt and a frustration for him. But aside from the winning component, it also is a business move on his part. And that is, he is underpaid for his resume. I just saw Pro Football Focus named him their Defensive Player of the Year again. Regardless if he wins the award back-to-back years, I think he's the best defender in the National Football League right now. And he should be paid as such. And but what he doesn't want to do is sign a long-term extension with a franchise that's going nowhere. He wants to play in these games here in January, and he'd like to get to February. You know, the Reggie Whites of the world, the LTs of the world, right? I mean, yes, they were record-setting players, no question about it. Changed the game, but they also won. And that is the one thing that's missing from Myles Garrett's resume, is being on a consistent winner. And as we have talked about repeatedly, this Browns team was supposed to be a consistent winner. They are not. And so, you know, Myles Garrett is going to have a business decision to make this offseason on multiple fronts, not just from a financial standpoint. The money will take care of itself. But does he want to remain in business with the Cleveland Browns? Does he trust them to do everything that they say that they're going to do and to execute that? Because I will just say this. The Browns are great at drawing up plans. Nobody in the National Football League does it better. They're one of the worst at executing them. And just for proof of that, look at the product that's been on the field for the better part of 26 years.
Daryl, thank you, sir.
Thanks, Daryl. We'll see you tomorrow in the hot seat, right?
Yeah.
Taking over for Jeff?
I got 4 hours with you tomorrow, Baskin.
Yeah, you better prepare.
No, I'm letting you know, you better sleep well tonight.
If I were you, and Daryl, this is just between me and you and nobody else, I'd hit the bar tonight if I were you. I'll just say that. Get you ready for tomorrow.
Trust me, Daryl, it helps.
And he doesn't even drink. That's the crazy part about it.
Well, you know, might have to do, never mind. We won't talk about that. Have a great day, guys.
Thank you, D. Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter. I'm Jeff Phelps. That's Andy Baskin. Mr. Action.
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 Why don't news channels do that anymore? Action news. Eyewitness news.
Are you kidding? They do.
They do?
Yeah. Let's open every newscast with the red breaking news banner.
Oh, good point.
Because there's breaking news every night at 11 o'clock.
Isn't it crazy? It happens at 11 o'clock.
Every night.
Yeah. It's just,
every
night. It's like, it's weird. It doesn't happen at like 10:50.
So we started this.
They would break in.
Yeah, we started this new thing this week with the idea of just straight information, of keeping everybody kind of in tune with where this thing might go. We know the Browns need a quarterback, and they probably need two quarterbacks
or three.
And we've looked so far, and we're just going to profile one guy most every day, you know, in the off season here, because there are a lot of guys. And we've looked at a guy coming out in the draft, Cam Ward from Miami. He was the first guy we looked at. Yesterday, we talked about Daniel Jones.
Right.
And who was a really high draft choice. Today, we're talking about another guy who was a really high draft choice. And I think, I don't know, he intrigues the heck out of me.
Baskin and Phelps present.
All right, so tell me again how this is not the same old Browns.
Let's find us a quarterback.
And again, we're not advocating for any of these guys right now. This is all just information. But I do like this guy. And Dan hates his guts. Dan thinks he's a despicable human being.
Oh, no.
And can't play football.
Of all the clunkers, this one might clunk the loudest.
I think this is a guy who hasn't had the opportunity to really do what it is he might be able to do. And the key word is might. And that is 24-year-old third overall pick in the 2021 draft by the San Francisco 49ers, Trey Lance, out of North Dakota State.
Who's never lost a fumble in the NFL.
Well, there you go. You got that going for you. So
I'm just looking for one good stat.
Here's Trey's deal. And everybody assumes he can't play. That might be the case. Okay.
Oh,
that,
I can't wait to hear the rest of this
that
one.
That might be the case.
Sell, baby, sell.
You go.
I will make the argument that
you can win something on this shelf between this corner and in this spot.
I will make the argument that this guy has
win some crap
since coming out of the out of college and being the third pick in the draft has been in the wrong place at the wrong time his entire pro career.
Mm.
Dan, don't laugh. You never know, okay? You never know. Third pick in 2021 by the 49ers. And remember, they traded up. And stop me if this sounds familiar. The Niners, they swapped picks with the Dolphins in 2021 and then gave up an additional two first-round picks and a third to move up to get Trey Lance with the third pick in the draft. So they ended up giving a bunch of draft capital. He came in as a rookie out of North Dakota State. Okay, at North Dakota State, he didn't play much.
You are just selling me left and right. Well, keep going.
No, but here's the reason he didn't play much. Mm. His first year, he was redshirted.
Mm-hmm.
So he played in two games. He threw one pass.
Oh, that's okay? Big numbers there. Quarterback rating of 200.
It was, actually.
Yeah.
And he completed that pass.
Did the math in my head.
Then he started in 2019 and was really good. Threw for about 2,800 yards, 28 touchdowns. No interceptions at North Dakota State.
And they were undefeated.
And he rushed for over 1,100 yards.
Yeah.
So he was really good. Yeah, they went 16-0. And then the next year was the COVID year. And the season got shut down after he played one game.
Yeah.
And remember, some schools kicked the season into 2021 and they were going to play spring football?
Yeah.
He decided he's going to come out for the draft. And so he did. And you can't say that was a bad decision because he went number three. He got paid, right?
Yeah, he did.
So he goes into San Francisco. Smart move. He was a young guy. He was only 21 years old when he came out.
Mm-hmm.
And so they did what they should do. He was the backup to Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right.
Which is not a bad way to go, I think. But he ended up starting a couple of games. Then his second year, he's the starting quarterback in San Francisco. And people forget this aspect of it. He was the starting quarterback for the 49ers ahead of a couple of other guys, okay, Jimmy G and Brock Purdy. He beat those guys out. He's the starting quarterback, but of course, he was the third overall pick, so they're going to start him when he's ready to go, they think. He broke his ankle in the second game of the season. People forget that.
It's a bad break.
He broke his ankle in the second game of the season and was done for the year. What happened? Jimmy G took over.
Yeah.
Jimmy G got hurt. Then they have to throw Purdy out there. Purdy goes 5-0 and gets them to the NFC Championship game where they lost to the Eagles. But Brock Purdy, last pick in the draft, steps in, plays lights out, and Trey Lance only had started two games and got hurt early on in the second game, so he basically played one game. And then they go back to training camp the next year. They had already brought in Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
And Purdy wins the job. Sam Darnold's the backup. And the 49ers say adios. They've had enough of Trey Lance. So he was the starting quarterback there until he broke his ankle. Would he have latched onto the job and become their Brock Purdy? You'll never know. And then the next year he came back from the ankle, and both Purdy and Darnold, that's the direction they wanted to go in, and they bailed on Trey Lance. So then Dallas gives up a fourth-round pick for him. Well, they have Dak Prescott. And they have Cooper Rush, who they liked as a backup.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Lance didn't play at all in 2023. This year, Dak gets hurt. Instead of finding out what they have in Trey Lance, they play Cooper Rush, who was miserable in the first game and then played really well. Cooper Rush did a nice job. They finally started Trey Lance. Finally played for the Cowboys in a start the last game of the season. Commanders, he was 20 of 34 for 244 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. So you could make the argument that this guy, 6'4", 226 pounds, really athletic, throws it pretty well, only 24, turns 25 next May. has been in the wrong spot a couple of times. Now, could he have beaten out Brock Purdy? Yeah, except Purdy went 5-0 the year before and took him to the NFC Championship game. That's pretty serious stuff.
Yeah, you can't really mess with that.
You know, you really can't. Mm-mm. And then they brought in Darnold.
You look like an idiot.
Could he have backed up Purdy and ahead of Darnold? Yeah, except they signed Darnold as a free agent. I think they paid him like $8 million. Mm-hmm. So my only thought on Lance is this. The Niners, who Dan thinks, you know, walk on water, thought enough of the guy to at one time trade swap one first-round pick and then give up two others and a third to bring him in. Mm-hmm. And then, broken ankle, bad circumstances. And then Dallas had Dak. They thought they'd take a chance on a fourth rounder. Jerry Jones was ridiculed for it. I would have done the same thing if I was him.
Yeah.
What I would have done was play him this year. That's where I think Dallas screwed up. Dallas was out, and they're playing Cooper Rush.
I don't know, Jeff. Your boy Mark McCarthy knows what he's doing down there.
Well, it might not have been his call. You never know.
Mark or
but
Mike?
My only Which thought one? Is this. If I'm looking for a young veteran who hasn't really had the opportunity, and there are a bunch of those guys out there, we've talked about them, Trey Lance would probably be at the top of my list. And if I'm a team like the Browns who need a quarterback, I would love to bring this guy in along with, say, if I don't deem anybody viable to draft at number two, I would love to bring this guy in with Kirk Cousins. And see what happens. Because there might be some untapped potential there that you could end up with a quarterback for the next decade.
All right. So now that I've listened to your entire argument.
And again, I'm just giving information about these guys. Do I
think this an argument or is this information?
Slant.
At the end, you made an argument for him.
Do I think he's going to be a stud quarterback in the NFL? I don't know.
If we're looking at the bias chart, it's one direction.
I do there like is a little I there, do yes. like this guy because I think he's been given the shaft by the NFL, and nobody did it on purpose necessarily. The guy broke his ankle. Well, Purdy comes in and he plays lights out. Okay, well, what are you going to do? Of course, you're going to start Purdy.
I don't know. The Eagles didn't start Nick Foles after they won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, that's.
Nick, that's right. That's correct. Yeah, that's a
good
point.
Nick was a guy who had kicked around the league a little bit, and they knew what they had. They thought.
They didn't go to the Super Bowl, right?
And won the Super Bowl. And still
no, I get that. But the point of it is, somebody who you respect like crazy thought enough of this guy to trade up to number three. They also thought enough of him to bail on him for a fourth. But they were covered there because they had two guys. Turns out they were right about Sam Darnold. Sam can play.
All right, so I've listened to your argument, Jeff, and
I think he's a really interesting guy, and some team's going to sign him and give him a chance to compete to be the starter. I wouldn't mind it being the Browns.
Yeah, it just doesn't do anything for me. I mean, you, everything you laid out is like, okay, got hurt.
You know, you're going to need a quarterback, right?
Yeah, I just think you can do
better.
You're
going to pick somebody.
I think you can do better.
You might be able to do better. I hope so.
I'd rather draft a young quarterback in a later round.
Well, this guy is a young quarterback. He's only started four games.
That just still feels – well, starts don't make – I mean, he still has 4 years in the league, even though he didn't play for
He's only made four starts.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm just not into it. I can't. I'm not swallowing this.
But you understand why he only made four starts.
Yeah, I understand.
He busted
why
up his ankle, was out for the season, and then got traded to a team that has the highest paid quarterback in the league.
Yeah, I just kind of feel like you're selling me a car that was all rusted out, and you put a ton of Bondo on it, you painted it up, and now all of a sudden I'm like,
well, no, I got rid of that car.
I'm like, that car looks okay. It doesn't look so bad, and I don't really want to spend that much money. And then all of a sudden, you know, first rain, the paint comes off the outside, and I'm like, Phelps tried to do it again.
Except it's like the newer version of it. Like, it's some car that somebody put out, and you're like, oh, this is a disaster zone. We can't keep selling this.
Yeah, and then we knew better because we knew that you were driving that other minivan for millions of miles.
Kevin's at Carrier Park. Hi, Kevin.
What's up, Kev? Tell him that he's crazy, will you please?
Well, I'm not crazy. I'm just giving you information about a guy.
Nah, in the end,
that's what this whole thing is to give you information.
Come on, man. You try to sell it like
do I think he's the answer? I don't know, but I wouldn't mind having him.
Man.
I wouldn't mind having him here.
Do we need to check my insurance policies after this?
Kevin, go ahead.
I got a different direction for you.
Go ahead,
so,
Kevin.
So, free agency and blah, blah, blah. Why does Cleveland sports teams always take players that played well against us, and they suck after we get them. I don't have names to go by.
I don't know. I thought Kevin Love was pretty good. I don't know.
Think about that.
That's one team. Okay.
There's a lot of players in the past that played well against us, and then we take them in free agency, and they turn out to be – sorry about that.
Yep, so are we, because we're dumping you.
Oh, man, it was so close. So close to a phone call, yet so far away.
Yep, absolutely the case.
I don't know. I think that just kind of stands out, though, the whole premise of trying to pick up free agents that had good games against Cleveland, no matter what. But you can't lump all three sports teams together. That's just not right.
Well, just keep in mind, you guys are going to poo-poo all of these guys because you're not going to like any of these quarterbacks. This is what's available to the Browns right
now. Oh, you're going to get to some that I'm okay with. It's just, if you told me Trey Lance is coming here as a backup quarterback, possibly third string dice roll, sold. If you're going to tell me he's a starter, we're going to have a problem.
I didn't tell you that, did I? So we shouldn't have a problem, should we?
Oh, I always have a problem when it comes to you rolling these...
Asking Baskin Phelps helps coming up next. I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy over there is Andy Baskin.
Yeah.
You know, we're just here to help on the show.
That's all we do.
Whether it's giving information about quarterbacks who might be available for the Browns, or whether it's about just maybe anything else you have on your mind.
When you need answers from a couple of life experts,
do you have any advice to try to squeeze out those extra 96,000 miles on
change
that
oil?
It's time for Askin' Baskin.
Instaface, snap face, whatever.
And Phelps helps.
You need to listen to me because I can help you here. That time again.
I'm dreading this today. I don't know why, but I'm kind of dreading it a little. Okay.
Well,
you mean like Dan and I have dreaded the whole show?
Why do you got to be
First,
that guy?
Don't lump me in on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, don't lump him in. You're out. Welcome back to Baskin and Menigan. Menigan and Baskin. I'll even give you Menigan and Baskin. That's great.
Nah, alphabetical. Listen, always go alphabetical.
Listen, and you can get Reese's Cups.
I'm all in. I'm listening.
All
There's
right.
too much salt in there. They're Reese's. You're eating them for comfort.
Okay. All right. We can yell about this later. All right. So due to the holidays and the hustle and bustle that this time of year seems to bring, we really only have one question, and then the rest of it is going to be...
It's going to be a quick segment, though.
Well, it's going to be a bunch of stuff that I've had in my back pocket that I want to throw at the two of you and just see how you react to it. Think of it as oops, all crunch berries. That's how we're going to go about this.
Oh, how about like the Kelsey mix? Have you had that, by the way?
No, I don't want diabetes. But thank you.
Write that down, 1243.
What?
That's the second reference of Kelsey's.
I didn't
show
say
today.
The first one. I didn't do the first one. I'm just telling you. By the way, the Kelsey mix is outstanding. It is outstanding. I looked at it. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to do this.
All right.
And then I did. I think I ate like five boxes of
it. Are you on like retainer from them?
No, not at all.
Okay.
But I do like the fact
that's a good
idea. Ed joins us every
it's
once
not
in a while.
A bad idea.
So don't be dissing the Kelseys. Let's go.
Love it.
All right, so we'll just start right here, and then we'll work our way into the Oops All Crunch Berries portion of the program.
Okay. Helps.
All right, we've got one question from Ron, who sends us a message at CLE Talking Heads. If you want to be a part of Askin' Baskin, Phelps Helps, use the Odyssey app. There's a voice message thing. Hit that bad boy and throw anything you want in there, any question that you got about life and the world around it. Avoid politics if you don't mind.
Yeah, I don't feel
like doing that. Even sports, if it's sports, great. If it's absolute nonsense, life advice, everything in between, the gentlemen are good for it, like this question for Jeff. What's the coolest piece of sports memorabilia that you own?
Wow, that's a good one. I don't really collect sports memorabilia. I don't have very much. And I couldn't even tell you the coolest piece. I'll say this.
I know mine.
I did a cool thing at our alma mater, Kent State, and they presented me with a chair from the basketball team. You know how the team has these chairs where, you know, it has the team logo on it and stuff like that?
Yeah.
I have a Kent State Golden Flash chair downstairs in my basement, along with a framed jersey that they gave me. So I like those. Those are nice.
I don't know. I know it wasn't asked of me, but...
Askin' Baskin.
All right, same one. On my way out the door, after the Cavaliers won the championship in San Francisco, I can't believe I'm a garbage picker, but I was a garbage picker.
Oh, we can believe.
They had the bottles of champagne that were empty, and they had a really cool logo on the outside of it. It was a Cavaliers Ohio champagne bottle. I grabbed the empty bottle. I grabbed it. It was in the garbage, so like normally I would never do that. But I was like, it's in the garbage and it's outside the locker room at this point. So I'm like, I'm taking it.
Another example of there's way too much money in pro sports.
Probably.
Because as you said, specially made up label.
Oh, it's really cool.
What if they had lost?
They drink it somewhere else.
What do you do with all those?
You know where I messed up?
Masking tape.
I should have pregame looked in the ceiling for the cash
for the
that
money.
Was up there.
Yeah, that's the Ty Lue left up there.
The more you know, the more you know.
Way to mess up.
All right, into the nonsense portion of the program.
Okay. Baskin' Baskin.
We will start with one of our favorite segments that we have not done in a minute, which is Would You Eat It?
Oh, good.
All right, we love Would You Eat It. We're a big fan of it. So this time of year, we've got a lot of teams that are going to be hosting games for the first time. And so we have a lot of different foods that are out there to be tried. We will start in Kansas City.
Okay.
Where they have the Touchdown Toast.
Okay.
It is $25 American, so keep that in the back of your mind, too.
So far, no. It is a
loaf of bread soaked in eggs, custard, milk, and heavy cream. It is then fried up and served with vanilla ice cream, berry sauce, strawberries, and powdered sugar.
Sounds like French toast.
So it's essentially French toast with a whole lot of great stuff on top of it, around it, and in it. Andy, would you eat it?
There Baskin, is Baskin.
No question about it. I would eat that. In fact, my wife makes a French toast casserole, which is very close to what you're speaking of right there. Although this has some fruit in it. Is that what you're saying? That is correct.
So you can claim it's healthy.
I'm in. Totally in. You know I would eat that in a second.
Phelps helps.
Would you eat it?
I'd give it a chance.
Okay.
Yeah. It sounds like something that's doable. It doesn't sound outrageous.
To some people, it might sound too sweet.
Didn't hear any spiders in there or anything?
No. It's all good, right. Yeah.
Chocolate-covered crickets?
Yeah.
They're better than you think.
I don't want to know.
All right. On the other side of it, the Eagles at the Link will have this for sale. It's called the Pretzel John. It's $20. It is a jumbo Eagles pretzel served with porter cheese sauce, green mustard sauce, and bourbon vanilla brown sugar butter. Jeff, and if you see the picture of this thing, we can send it out in a tweet if you so desire. Sure. It looks like the Eagles logo.
Oh, that's cool.
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Jeff?
Phelps helps.
Would you eat it?
Give it a try. That one doesn't sound as appealing to me. Doesn't sound quite as appealing. I think pretzels are slightly overrated.
How? Like, you're talking warm pretzel, right? Or are you talking like a standard pretzel?
Regular pretzels. Slightly
overrated.
Oh, this
isn't a regular pretzel.
Yeah, I know, but they're going nuts with it.
This is a big soft pretzel.
Oh, you can't beat a big soft pretzel.
It's just a hunk of dough.
A finely made hunk of dough.
Well, sure. Man. I didn't say they weren't good, but, you know, I don't really like the soft pretzels. And I don't.
Are you kidding?
Well, I don't care for them very much.
Oh,
to me, it's just a big hunk of dough. God knows I get enough carbs.
If you're going to eat the big pretzel anyway, just eat it.
And then
the small
pretzels, along with making us thirsty.
The one that... It's my turn yet. I got to wait for the image.
Baskin, Baskin.
Oh, are you asking?
God, you're actually following rules.
I know.
What'd you do with Andy Baskin?
Well, the segment has our name on it, so I can't screw this one up too bad. Pretzels are awesome. I love pretzels. You know when I get disappointed? When you sit down and they have an hors d'oeuvre and they're like, oh, would you like a pretzel? Especially if you're at like a bar. And like, yeah. And then they bring you out like two pretzel sticks.
No.
And I'm like, whoa, come on now, man. That's so weird. That bothers me. Especially when they bring you like multiple dips for the pretzel. Mm-hmm. And they only give you like one or two. Come on, man. Like you said, it's a piece of bread.
Come on, man.
That's an aggravation. I would eat that, by the way. I would eat that. Yeah.
100% yes. All right. A lot of now to continue the would you eat that portion of the program, somewhat, maybe a little adjacent to it. Mm-hmm. Apparently, enough people in North Korea are eating something near and dear to all of our hearts that they are now making it illegal. In which I mean that the North Koreans, and I'm taking this from the New York Post, so it's legit. The North Koreans have reportedly banned eating hot dogs as a part of a crackdown on Western culture infiltrating the kingdom. That's right. There will be no more hot dogs in North Korea. That'll show them. That'll learn them.
Cross that off Joey Chestnut's travel itinerary.
That's it. So will they have black market hot dogs there?
That would be my guess, is that they're going to have to go across the border and have people bringing hot dogs over.
There's a lot to be said for a good hot dog.
Yeah, but
it really is.
Mr. Sodium over there doesn't. Oh, there's the good hot dogs.
I'm just looking out for you.
You're
man.
Ripping out.
You're my buddy.
Me
you're my
for
pal.
About sodium, and now
you're my
all of a sudden
pal.
You're going to sit
I'm
here.
I'm trying
and,
to help you.
Really excited for North Korean Smokey and the Bandit when they go get hot dogs.
Oh, that's not a bad movie.
Good hot dog is tough to beat.
Trying to think of the best hot dog.
They're all good.
I don't know. I like the 8-to-1s rather than the 4-to-1s.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just because the 4-to-1s are so big. That's too much for me. I can do
I love Coney dogs, chili dogs. Oh, man.
It's just, they make these Chicago ones. I'm just straight plug. Miles Market has them. They're phenomenal. Sorry.
The two best hot dogs.
8-to-1s. Get the eight, just order the 8-to-1s. They're awesome, especially during the summer when you throw them on the grill. Oh.
What do you put on a hot dog normally?
Me, personally? You know. Ketchup.
Oh, ketchup.
I like ketchup on it. But I do like mustard, too. Most of the time, I'll just either do just one or the other. I can't do both at the same time.
No.
Not
ketchup
there.
Or mustard and sweet relish for me.
No. You know what else I do like? I do enjoy a good cheese dog. Those are good.
Like the Wiener Winks?
The Wiener Wink. And then
I haven't had one of those in forever.
You know my favorite, man. And my mom made them for me when I was a kid.
Reese's hot dogs?
No, that would be disgusting. No, I would go, although the sodium content would only get bigger. So
I'd try it.
Crescent rolls, the mini hot dogs.
Oh, yeah. When you
pigs in a blanket kind of, but I love those. Like
you,
I could
if you
do
take
that
those little hot dogs and you put them in like a crock pot and you put them in that, you know, like brown sugary sauce.
No.
Never have those?
Man,
those are good.
Mm-mm.
Those
Can't
are
say
good.
That on those, no. Mini hot dogs in the crescent rolls. It's the only way to go. I love those.
You can eat about what, 17?
Unfortunately, yes. I could at one point. So I can't.
I'm sure I could too.
I can't eat nearly as much as what I used to.
Good chili dog ghost. Also tough to beat.
It's a good way to live life. All right, gents, the last thing that I've got for you, and I got to refine the music because, of course, it went out.
Yeah, I was like, what's going on here, man? This is weak.
What the hell do you want?
I want you, let's go. Give us one more,
we're doing
man.
We're the best we can with
Andy's,
what we have.
Well, he never
back.
Answered his hot dog question.
Andy's
that's
back.
Why.
Yes, I. Oh, yeah, you never actually
you
asked
never
a
answered,
question.
You
about
asked,
it.
Yeah, you didn't.
What, with the two best hot dogs?
Yeah.
Oh, the hot dog at the turn at the golf course going from 9 over to 10.
Isn't that?
The second one is a hot dog at a ball game.
Why is that?
Golf course hot dogs are the best.
Yeah, they are. Mm. Even if they've been on the roller all week. The ones I don't like are the ones that are artificially colored on the outside. They used to be 3 for a buck, but it was my first Christmas in
When you go
Montana.
Into the gas station and you see the rotating hot dog and part of it's green or blue, stay away.
Or the pizza that's been sitting there for about a week. Yeah.
You ever eat that stuff out of a gas station?
I did when I was in Montana.
Did you?
I did, yeah. I was like, where are we going? There they are. The band's
back. Hey, segment's back.
All right, so then the last thing that I've got for you, gentlemen, on Ask It Baskin and Phelps Helps is what is taking place in Portland, Oregon, which is that somebody has been going around and putting googly eyes on all of the statues around the Oregon city of Bend. Basically, they're taking, like, you know those big old, like the pet rock eyes?
Yeah,
the googly
yeah.
eyes that were going out there? They're putting that on a whole
like
bunch
a,
of different...
Like a sticky thing, putting them on them?
Uh-huh.
That's
and the
funny.
Cops are having to take that down. So, gentlemen,
that's funny.
Are we pro putting googly eyes on things, or do we think it's dumb? Jeff,
I think this is outstanding. Are you kidding? All the statues looking like that? That's fun.
It's everything.
As long as they're not destroying the statue.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I think there is no harm in this whatsoever. Andy?
Askin Baskin.
I don't think there's any harm in this, but you do realize there's the kind of a local story that went along with this here that we had.
Somebody put googly eyes on the free stamp?
No. Somebody was putting Chief Wahoo stickers all over Aurora.
Ooh. Oh, I remember that.
That was back in, I just found it, November. Back in November, somebody was doing that.
Somebody had a stash, huh?
Yeah. I may have known a guy, rest his soul, that used to put his stickers for his business on men's urinals all over Northeast Ohio.
All right,
it was one of my dad's good friends.
Like right in the line of vision?
Yeah. Like
at eye level?
No, there's a perfect, you know, where there's a handle you pull while you're standing there? If you kind of look perpendicular to that, there's a little circle that goes on there, and he would put his little, it was a dog. I'll just leave it at that because people
good
know what
him.
I'm talking about. But and the family is a fantastic family, and I used to laugh. Every time I would see it, I'd send him a text or shoot him off a picture.
That's outstanding. And that's Askin Baskin and Phelps Helps. If you would like to be a part of this moving
and
forward,
please do.
All you have to do is go to the Odyssey app, leave us a little message. We'll put you on the air. Won't that be fun?
It's easy. Look
yeah.
at that.
And then Dano will run the music and... You're on a tight board on that one.
Yeah, except for when the music runs out. He's great.
That'll happen.
Shut up.
Cavs beat the Thunder. Cavs best record in the NBA. What does that mean moving forward? What does it mean come playoff time? We'll get some thoughts from Matt Moore, senior NBA analyst on the Action Network. Does he think the Cavs are a legit championship contender? Next on Baskin and Phelps.